come here," he said. Rebecca obeyed. She stopped beside the hammock in an icy sweat, feeling knots forming in her intestines, while Jose Arcadio stroked her ankles with the tips of his fingers, then her calves, then her thighs, murmuring, "Oh, little sister, little sister." She had to make a supernatural effort not to die when a startlingly regulated cyclonic power lifted her up by the waist and despoiled her of her intimacy with three slashes of its claws and quartered her like a little bird. She managed to thank God for having been born before she lost herself in the inconceivable pleasure of that unbearable pain, splashing in the steaming marsh of the hammock which absorbed the explosion of blood like a blotter. 3 days later, they were married during the 5 o'clock mass. Jose Arcadio had gone to Pietro Crespi's store the day before. He found him giving a zither lesson and did not draw him aside to speak to him. "I'm going to marry Rebecca," he told him. Pietro Crespi turned pale, gave the zither to one of his pupils, and dismissed the class. When they were alone in the room that was crowded with musical instruments and mechanical toys, Pietro Crespi said, "She's your sister." "I don't care," Jose Arcadio replied. Pietro Crespi mopped his brow with the handkerchief that was soaked in lavender. "It's against nature," he explained, "and besides, it's against the law." Jose Arcadio grew impatient, not so much at the argument as over Pietro Crespi's paleness. "Fuck nature two times over," he said. "And I've come to tell you not to bother going to ask Rebecca anything." But his brutal deportment broke down when he saw Pietro Crespi's eyes grow moist. "Now," he said to him in a different tone, "if you really like the family, there's Amaranta for you." Father Nicanor revealed in his Sunday sermon that Jose Arcadio and Rebecca were not brother and sister. Ursula never forgave what she considered an inconceivable lack of respect, and when they came back from church, she forbade the newlyweds to set foot in the house again. For her, it was as if they were dead. So they rented a house across from the cemetery and established themselves there with no other furniture but Jose Arcadio's hammock. On their wedding night, a scorpion that had got into her slipper bit Rebecca on the foot. Her tongue went to sleep, but that did not stop them from spending a scandalous honeymoon. The neighbors were startled by the cries that woke up the whole district as many as 8 times in a single night and 3 times during siesta, and they prayed that such wild passion would not disturb the peace of the dead. Aureliano was the only one who was concerned about them. He bought them some furniture and gave them some money until Jose Arcadio recovered his sense of reality and began to work the no-man's land that bordered the courtyard of the house. Amaranta, on the other hand, never did overcome her rancor against Rebecca, even though life offered her a satisfaction of which she had not dreamed. At the initiative of Ursula, who did not know how to repair the shame, Pietro Crespi continued having lunch at the house on Tuesdays, rising above his defeat with a serene dignity. He still wore the black ribbon on his hat as a sign of respect for the family, and he took pleasure in showing his affection for Ursula by bringing her exotic gifts, Portuguese sardines, Turkish rose marmalade, and on one occasion a lovely Manila shawl. Amaranta looked after him with a loving diligence. She anticipated his wants, pulled out the threads on the cuffs of his shirt, and embroidered a dozen handkerchiefs with his initials for his birthday. On Tuesdays, after lunch, while she would embroider on the porch, he would keep her happy company. For Pietro Crespi, that woman whom he always had considered and treated as a child, was a revelation. Although her temperament lacked grace, she had a rare sensibility for appreciating the things of the world and had a secret tenderness. One Tuesday, when no one doubted that sooner or later it had to happen, Pietro Crespi asked her to marry him. She did not stop her work. She waited for the hot blush to leave her ears and gave her voice a serene stress of maturity. "Of course, Crespi," she said, "but when we know each other better, it's never good to be hasty in things." Ursula was confused.